Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah, you hear that sound deep in your ear hole. It's got to be the SOC Box Pod. What a week in the life of the box. Charlo double pay-per-view this weekend. And boy, do we have one hell of a show. Maybe the last show in SOC Box history. More on that to come. But we're back. We're back with a bang. It's your boy, BC. And you know the guy that I do the thing with. Okay, you know him.
Who's this person you're interviewing?
I'm sorry?
Rafe. I'm Rafe.
He is Rafe. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is a man more excited about all things Charlo for $74.95 than anyone this side of BetYourAss.com. It is Rafe Bartholomew. Sir, let me lick you up, please, okay? Let me lick you down like a stamp, okay?
Whoa, champ.
Okay. Hey, no. Yeah. Whack. Yeah. Okay. Rafe, I didn't play your theme song there. Welcome in.
All right. I thought for a minute you were going into Silk. Let me lick you up and down. You say stop.
Are you a freak like me? Is that Anita?
That's Adina. There is no Anita Howard. I'm sure there is in the world, but Adina Howard, you mean?
Yes.
She's a freak in the morning and a freak in the evening.
Okay.
Just like Oscar.
Well, that is true. Just in case anyone listening to this in the car with your children, I get what's going on here, but there's one thing you got to understand.
Now let's be real here. Boxing is for grown folks.
Right? Thank you, Dwyer. So is this show. Luke Bartholomew, Rafe Bartakamus, we're in mid transition from the SOC to the MK, as we do here at CBS Sports, but people always ask me, what feed should I subscribe to? I'm not really sure how this is going to work out. I think you should probably subscribe to the Morning Combat feed and get ready for that. But this is our victory lap this week on all things ITSO to the C. And Rafe, we got a great show today. Looking back, looking ahead to the Charlos. I got interviews. I know you don't care about them, but I got interviews today on this pod with Charlo opponent Sergey Derevyanchenko. Jason Banana Rosario gonna stop by, okay? You're gonna
banana
like that.
Banana way. You know what I'm talking about? Are you down with only the strong, Brian?
Bro.
Bitch, I'm a savage.
Of course I am, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Mark DeCascos.
Also a big fan of Ed OG and the Bulldogs. Remember, be a father to your child? That was important hip-hop, okay?
I'm talking about the film Only the Strong, the capoeira movie starring Mark DeCascos, where they're singing Banana Way.
No, I'm clearly
Banana Way, Banana.
Banana, let the rhythm take you over, Rosario.
This is not El DeBarge.
Here's what I'm saying here, okay? Great show today, or you know, could be. Sometimes maybe good, right? Sometimes maybe the SOC. We got the two interviews, and you know, you and I, we would like to give a big gift to people to close. Hopefully we'll have time this week to just smooch the folks. Give them one more on the way out, all right? You in?
I am in, Brian, and at the end of the day, I hope we can ask our loyal, wonderful, insane fans, did you like it?
Yes, I love it. Yes, right. I would like to kiss.
Hope they'll be like, I know you love it.
I know. I would like to kiss all of our listeners on the mouth. You know what I'm saying, Rafe? I would like to just congratulate them, thank them for being with us on this journey. We will do things on this podcast others will not.
Sweet. I'm going to make sure you kiss me good with those big lips.
Okay? We will do things, right? We will lift Sefer Safuri off the ground and hug him, right? That's what we do. Seriously, it's a weird time, but a time to say hello and goodbye. And hello again, okay? So get ready for a big gift to people coming from your friends at the SOC.
You know me, Brian. I'm always ready to drop a I'm a boxing fan on our listeners.
I've been told I have to kill time. Hi, my boxing fans. I've excited for Ukraine fight. It's nice. It's good. It's good. Seriously, though, all things seriously, it is a fun time right now. The quarantine is it's either ending or still beginning, but we're starting to get good fights. The Charlos this weekend, jokes aside, there's a 6-fight card that matters. We got your boy Loma going in there against Teo in the next month. We got some cruiserweights. Remember we used to lick them up, right? We used to love them back in the day. So we're gonna get that Gassayet. Who is that? Brightus and the other guy.
Briedis, Myris Briedis of Latvia, the cop. Another so many cops in boxing.
Tastes like Doritos.
Against Uniel, the KO Doctor Dorticos. Oh,
yes.
I'm ready, brother. I am ready.
Are you even full masked about the Tartan Tornado against Song Yadong this weekend? No.
Look, I was an early adopt. You know, look, this. Let me let you in. I think you should know this already, but in case our fans haven't figured it out, I'm a classic front runner in terms of my boxing whims. The fighters that get me full mass, so to speak.
Oh, wow.
So I was full mass for the Tartan Tornado back when he was beating Miguel Vasquez and Ivan Baranchik. Now that he's blown up, I'm like, yeah, of course he's good, but come on, I got to move on to the next thing. I don't know right now. I mean, right now I'm buffing up a halfy for Jerron Ennis and our guy Virgil Ortiz Jr. Now, they aren't secrets to anyone. They aren't under any radars if you have a clue what's going on, but they are the truth.
Yes. So is Keith Thurman. No, Errol Spence. Sorry. Errol Spence is the truth as well. All right. So that's the foundation we have laid for you. That's what's going to happen. We will have translators for today's interview, but I know you're going to love both the technician and the banana coming at you. You're going to get a lot of bugs in your ear hole. Rafe, as we record this, I am coming to you from the damn Mohegan bubble. I have self-swabbed this morning. I have taken the test, right? As Jean Pascal once told B-Hop, right? Take the test, right? You know what I'm saying? I was in your ass.
I was in your ass, and you was ready to quit, and you was blowing and puffing, and went to your corner like a rag doll, done, defeated, and neutered.
And that's how gangster I am. I took that test this morning. I did ask if they had a rectal option. The guy from Harvard Healthcare, not happy about that. Not happy.
No, he was like, don't joke with me, man. Don't play with me.
Yeah, don't play with me.
What else was going on? What else? Give me a report from the bubble on the ground. Brian, do you realize you've made it into a bubble before almost any other boxing scribe, I think? I don't think many people have gotten inside the top rank bubble on the West Coast yet.
I'm sure Ioli's been in there. I think Keith Idek has been inside the Showtime bubble before. I know I saw his name on the list. I don't know if HIPAA laws are preventing me from telling you that Keith Idek had one of his orifices violated today in the spirit of the pandemic for this, but he was as well great from a great website, by the way, boxingscene.com.
You know? A property of CBS.
Absolutely. I don't think there's been many guys, but there's been a few hard men, and I have to be in this hotel room for 24 hours, so I'm recording with you, and I'm loving it, okay? I'm in the same underwear. It's like being at home. I'm in the same underwear.
Are we going to marathon this joint, Brian? Are we going to stay on the line for the next 20-something hours until you reach the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, say like the Save the Children telethon, like on Full House when they had like the Beach Boys on there. That's totally what we should do. Wow. All right. Yeah. Where's LB Ali?
Yeah, hopefully Khan didn't, shoot out his gun.
Wow. Hey, did you see our boy, the Egyptian magician? He's committed his career now to Vegas at the Mayweather gym, and he is ripped, and he's working. He's going for it. Jean Pascal sent him to hell, but he's back, brother.
Oh, well, that is – look, I never had an issue with Ahmed LB Ali's conditioning, Brian. It was – always just a question of whether he was a good boxer, which if watched Jean Pascal prior to rediscovering Ripper Nutrition knocks you out, might mean that it's going to be a challenge.
Indeed. We'll see where that goes as well. Did you happen to check out the Last Stand with Brian Custer podcast by any chance?
Brian, I have no room for new podcasts in my life. What's going on there?
I did watch Mr. Custer's interview with Adrian Broner, The Problem. It was actually he threw the fastball, he threw the high cheese. He went at it. He gave him the questions you would want to see answered. But the big takeaway was that AB's still going to AB, but he's going to come back in January on Showtime. And on that podcast, they sort of circled the rim and said it would be Ivan Redcock. Yin?
Circled the rim. That's disgusting. I guess the Redcock fight was supposed to happen before. Didn't Redcock get a fight with Danny Garcia because he didn't get the Broner fight? Why do I need to watch more Redcock? He can't beat John Molina.
That's true. That's true. Officer John Molina, right?
Yeah, he's an officer now too, Mr. Officer.
All right. Well, you know, I'm going to get excited for AB at 31 to try to come back. Look, Redcock is the right fight. It's a guy he could get into like a war. I mean, look, he got into a war with Jesse Vargas. That was a fun fight. I think AB's probably slipped since it's 2 years since he's been in there. So Redcock might be the type of guy that can kind of go life and death with him. But you know what I think he should build to? Not selling his name to Thurman or any of those other guys. Look, I would do a washed-on-wash fight, of course, with VO or Berto, but why not Khan, and why not now? AB and Khan, you in on that? Because hey,
I would be in on that. Yeah, both of those guys are not real boxers anymore, but they're still young enough to get in a fight. That makes sense to me.
I'll spoil you. I'll watch it with you.
That's not actually Young Thug, is it? It's just like someone singing in the style of Young Thug.
You think I know or care what that guy?
Who
sang those lyrics? Come on. All right, but
I hear you singing it every other week, man.
Fuck a bitch, Erickson Lubin. We'll get into that pretty soon.
I don't like to watch Erickson Lubin.
After we open mouth kiss all of our listeners.
I got timeout. This fighter on sportsmanlike conduct kissing that fighter. You do not kiss a fighter. 1 point.
You can kiss a listener, though, okay? We'll kiss a few of them. Do you kiss your listeners with that mouth, Rafe?
No, but once in a while, I will strap one on and go toe-to-toe with a listener.
Well, I've got some red meat for you.
All right, enough weirdness. Other in the news before we take a break, did you see Teddy Atlas pissing off a lot of boxing folk on Saturday night on Twitter by basically sending Showtime Boxing to hell and saying that UFC has taken over, which isn't necessarily off brand because Teddy has been very UFC centric on his podcast these days. And
I unsubscribed. That's how centric he's gotten.
And oh, by the way, it wasn't like he was wrong in theory, but did you see Ray Flores coming to the defense of Box on Twitter and sending our guy Teddy to hell? Did you see that?
No, I didn't. What kind of raygasm did he drop, unload, so to speak?
Yes.
On Teddy.
Well, I was hoping to find an audio version if I could here. Hold on 1 second. All right, here we go.
A right hook upstairs. Edwards shakes his head.
There's a statement!
Candidate for loaded shooted gun of the year. He basically was like, "You're old and bitter. You can't get a job in boxing anymore, so you want to turn on your sport." I mean, he came ham on the great Teddy Atlas. So I love me some Ray Flo. I'm hoping to run into him in the bubble. He's here this week as well. And I do, though. You know, look, you're gonna send Teddy to hell in public. I do have a message for you.
Okay, tell your family to write their will out. You're in trouble.
Okay, all right. You know, the guy's got a scar that goes from his head to his dong for a reason. Okay, all right. I read his book. He showed up at Donnie Lalonde's doorstep ready to pull that trigger. All right, watch yourself. Okay, you're feeling it, yes. But hey, as a hardcore. Well, I've given up my hardcore card a few times, but as a OG box guy, I was like, okay, Ray. Okay, bro. I ain't mad at you. I got nothing but love for you. do your thing, bro, right?
So, I think you're right, Brian, that he better prepare his horse for the war if he's coming at Teddy.
Yes.
And, look, I looked up the Sugar Ray Flores. Is he called? What's SBR? I don't even know. Look, I looked up his tweet. It says, "I respect you, Teddy, but you're just bitter that you no longer have a job in the boxing business. For decades, you made a living, and a really good one, off the sport of boxing. Now you turn..." He's missing a word. "Now you turn your back on it," I think he meant. "What a class act you are. I know times are tough, but go ask Dana for a job." Brian, can I be honest here? This is bullshit.
Whoa. Well, hold on.
You know how they say when certain people in politics are speaking for an audience of one? And I think this tweet is intended for an audience of one. That being whoever is cutting Ray's checks on his announcing fees, whether that's a network or a promoter or whatever.
Wow.
Good for, he's whatever. He likes to get out there and kind of defend whatever the people he works for. Good for him. He should, right? That they're paying him. Teddy probably made more money in the last year than Ray ever has in boxing, right? One payday from his ESPN job, which still includes boxing, even if he's not on TV regularly, and the training he does, which we can debate whether or not he's the best trainer for certain fighters or whatever, but he's still out there. Enough people consider him an elite trainer that he almost got hired to be Andy Ruiz's new trainer, or at least made it sound like he might have a chance at it. In any case, Teddy's eaten well. So this is, I don't consider this tweet factual, but I do consider it passionate. I also, honestly, I don't care. Anybody who wants to go attach like a barnacle and make a buck off boxing, go do your thing, go lie, go whatever, go kiss ass. If you want to live your life kissing ass all the time, do what you got to do.
You think I care about what the freak, that guy that acted that way, that behaved that way, that I care what he thinks of me? No. I don't.
Wow, you sent a few people there to hell. I liked the chutzpah out of Rayflow there. I did, the area that I disagreed with is that I actually don't think Teddy's wrong. We all know boxing sins. Boxing is a woman of the night, right? We all want her to domesticate herself so we can bring her home to mom. It's not happening, okay? You're right.
Is that what men want from their women of the night, Brian? I'm not sure, but I do follow you right now. I follow you.
On Twitter? Yeah, thank you. B. Campbell, CBS.
I follow what you're saying. I smell what you're cooking. I hear Jimmy right now.
And you're right. Everyone does use this sport, from promoter to announcer to, whoever, to try to make their buck or make their name. And every once in a while, they sprinkle on top of our shit sandwich the smell of that old flavor they used to cook with that first got us hooked. You know what I'm saying? It's still an effective robbery. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, Rafe. So, Teddy's actually not wrong. And I tip my cap more to him, but I like the passion out of.
Well, look, Teddy, in the same breath, or in the next breath, I should say, Teddy's doing the same thing. He's just buttering up the next paycheck too, right? He sees where the money's going. He sees who's doing well. And I bet on some level it disappoints him, because he's a man who has literally devoted his life to boxing in a way that most of us have not. Even lifelong fans, like, he has been in it at a deeper level than all of us. And the sport just keep doing the same BS. And perhaps on some level it pains Teddy to have to be sidling up to another sport that he hasn't been a part of his entire life. But you know what? Money is a hell of a drug, man, and people will kiss, will sidle up to whatever for a paycheck. And maybe that's coming in Teddy's future. Or at least he's doing well on his podcast talking about MMA all the time, even if he pretends it's just boxing.
judge me, watch me, applaud me. I'm great.
Damn right.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that. All right. Yeah. That was great. Okay. You know, why don't we just do this? Why don't we take a, do we have a sponsorship this week? Let me check.
I have huge titties is his top tipper.
All right. Why don't we take a pause for the cause and see if we have jobs on the other side? You're going to hear from somebody. They're going to tell you to buy something. Buy it, right? Listen to it. Do what you have to do. Hear from Bugs in BC on the other side. Dig it.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here. And more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, it's BC. It's the that American Hatchcock, Rafe Bugs. Still to come, Derevchenko and Banana Rosario coming your way. But Rafe, it's time to celebrate. It's been a long time since we rock and rolled with a big fight. We got two of them this weekend. We got six of them in some ways. Big time boxing, whether you think it's worth $74.95 or not, is back. Yes, I'll be a part of the festivities this week for Showtime Boxing. Check me out, co-hosting the weigh-in stream on Wednesday, the presser on Wednesday, the halftime show of this double Charlo extravaganza this weekend. But every week I ask you the same question, 1 to 10, flaccid to full. What is your excitement level? Are you at the point where at least you can understand that we're going to see two really good main event fights here, title fights that will impact the two divisions we're talking about, 154 and middleweight, and could produce two more pound-for-pound contenders at the end of the day, and maybe the two faces of their respective divisions? Are you feeling what I'm putting out? Will you let it in?
Well, look, Brian, I know that when the Charlo brothers mistake you for Mike Covinger, and thank you for putting them on his pound-for-pound top 10 list, that's a nice moment between you and them, between lions and snakes, so to speak.
I just find it all incredibly hypocritical.
Perhaps. But for me, no. I will say it right now. I think they will both win their fights this weekend and look pretty good doing it, because they're very good fighters. I have no intention of moving them into the top 10 pound for pound on my meaningless list anytime soon, because there's a lot of very, very good fighters out there who've proven a lot more than them.
Don't get
Brian, it's still good fights. Pound for pound is full of more S than boxing is in general. So let's forget that.
Here's
garbage.
What I'm saying. If Jermell,
these are good ass fights. I am excited for these fights.
If Jermell walks in there and KOs Banana and is the face of 54, I'm sorry, he may get a pound for pound vote. It is what it is. All right, he'll be up there against like Beterbiev.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He would not deserve in that class after the win that Beterbiev had over Vozdik. I'm sorry. Here's my thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be proven wrong. The fight on Saturday could prove me wrong. I don't believe in Banana on that level yet. All right. He beat J-Rock. Great win. We don't know what was up with J-Rock that weekend. We don't know. J-Rock himself hadn't been right, hadn't been looking like he was necessarily ever going to get to a title at 154. Except it turned out that Jarrett Hurd was as limited as he has looked at times in his career against him that one night. And I don't, all of these 154 fighters, look, it's a great competitive division. It's fun because it's competitive. But the secret about it is the ceiling is low on this division.
On 154? The ceiling? What? What?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Okay. All right, Rafe, you need to cool off. Are you okay, Rafe?
I'm fine. I just heard static from you for like 45 seconds.
You didn't hear Dwyer?
No, I did not hear Richard Dwyer.
All right. Do you hear Dwyer now?
Crawford has the cojones on him.
You heard that, right?
Oh, yes, he does. Okay. He does.
Thank you. All right, Rafe, let's get back to the show here. So apparently your excitement level is a bit muted, but when you pay your hard-earned cash, hopefully you'll come around, okay? Hopefully.
Brian, like I said, look, I think these are good fights. I think it's an extremely strong card up and down. I will lick it up and down. I will pay $75 up and down. I can't wait to see the halftime show hosted by the Morning Combat crew of the Brian Campbell and Luke Thomas. But I don't need to kiss ass beyond that. You already got my money.
Okay. I already know you're the best. Controversial trainer, right, of the one who mixed the other bottle, the one who made the other hand wraps loaded with plaster of Paris, Panama Lewis reportedly died. I saw Michael Woodsy putting it out there on Facebook and Twitter looking for people with stories to come at him. That was a controversial figure in this sport. You have any memories?
I didn't see that he had died, so I'm caught off balance here. Yeah, look, he doesn't have a great legacy in the sport, but this is a dirty sport and he's remembered for that reason. Do you have some perspective to share on this?
No, I don't. It was interesting going on. I went on Aaron Snowell's Facebook page today. I don't know how I got there. You know, he's the former Tyson trainer in the Douglas fight. You could hear a rat pissing on cotton in the Tokyo Dome. That guy from the legendary nights, you know what I mean? And, people on his page were coming at him saying, good riddance, you know, Panama's dead. He tried to kill a man. And, Trainer Snowell was coming
back. Well, he did, didn't he?
A couple times. Yeah. And Trainer Snowell was coming back very biblically of thou shalt not, wrap the handeth of the plaster of Paris at somebody unless you have, wrapped one on your own. Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah, I'm not here to judge Panama Lewis, okay? All right? Thank you. Rafe, Joyce Dubois could be delayed again per Frank Warren. I'm losing interest by the day.
You don't say, Brian. Color me shocked that this might not happen on schedule. What? It's like there's something going on in the world.
Yeah. Are you into the idea of Jaime Munguia going up to 160 and facing Turiano Johnson on October 30th on DAZN?
I'm into it because it's part of the remaining like 3 months on the DAZN money I can't get back, so I'll watch it. But is it a good fight? No. I mean, it's okay. Look, it is kind of a good fight because Munguia kind of hasn't fought anybody in a while and hasn't looked good while not fighting anybody. He hasn't fought a legit middleweight yet since he moved to 160. Toriano is a bit long in the tooth, but he's still tough. He's never looked bad in the ring. He's always been competitive. And shoot, it would be a lot of fun to watch Toriano Johnson finally get a big win, because Lord knows he's one of these guys who's been around forever, and we've always kind of been rooting for him to get one of these wins. And two, it would upset this fraudulent Munguia apple cart. That would be a great thing to see.
There's a lot of fraudulency in this sport, Rafe.
Folks, welcome to boxing.
Shoot that.
Some of the rooms have shadows in the corners. right?
Yeah, I think so. I think all of them do, Rafe. All right, all right. Boxing is full of shit. It always has been full of shit. We used to love this game. Thank you. Okay, all right. Rafe, did you also know that Dana White of Skinhead fame, you remember that guy, right?
Yeah, he's an important person in the skinhead business.
He was on the BT Sport video pod thing that Ben Davidson is like a co-host of, and some other English guy. And he said, look forward to a major boxing announcement this week, which has a lot of people pointing to this two key points, Rafe. One, Conor McGregor of skinhead fame. Dana last week said, finally talked to Conor. We have a, quote, very creative idea for his return. And then, as you already know, the great Filipino senator Manny Pacquiao is signed to Paradigm Sports, Audiatar, the same management team that reps Conor. Are you getting the feeling that when Dana says, I got a major boxing announcement coming, it's going to be Conor Pac?
I mean, that makes sense. It probably is what he's hinting at, although they hint at things like this and then reveal something totally, you know, you get a lot of bait and switch with these hints. So it would also would not surprise me if they point everyone in the direction of McGregor versus Manny and instead make it Logan Paul versus Jack Swagger. He's not fighting in UFC, right? Maybe no. Logan Paul versus Kid. Oh, it's his name. CM Punk.
Yeah, that's no. Like, look, a major announcement for Dana, who's been teasing one for like 2 years now, and it would have to be Conor versus Manny. I'm still of the belief that that's a horrifically bad idea for Conor. Seriously, like, take off the this is bullshit cap for a second. I don't think there's a chance he can get through four rounds against still got it jacked up calves Manny Pac-Man, right?
Yeah, look, it is a. I'm the person who said that Oscar would stop Conor in two. So Conor McGregor ain't lasting much longer against Manny. I guess again, there is the slight long shot hope that Conor McGregor, who has good timing and is a great striker in MMA, could get. I would say, look, I guess there's no such thing as a lucky punch, but he could get lucky and catch Manny with something that the way that Manny has been caught before. And pull one out of his butthole like that. But other than that, he's getting sent.
This is going to sound weird. I'm kind of in on this whole Floyd against like a 185-pound Logan Paul idea. I'm just like, it's so charadical and bullshit that I'm like, you know what? Smear it on my face. Let's do it. Like, if Floyd is going to come back and do something ridiculous like this, at least have some kind of built-in disadvantage of a weight advantage. And look, it's not an event. Like, it's not going to matter.
What do you mean a disadvantage? It's like saying Floyd versus me or you would be a disadvantage because we outweigh him by 100 pounds each.
That's why I said it's not actually going to be a disadvantage. But you get my point. Would you rather him fight a 20-year-old kickboxer who weighs 122 pounds like he did with Tenshin? Or would you rather him fight a guy who everyone hates, who thinks he can box, who's closer to 200 pounds? You want to see that, right?
I don't – that's difficult to choose between Floyd versus Tenshin and Floyd versus Logan Paul. I think I'm going to say I'm equally interested in those matchups, Brian. But the matchup I do want to see and where I think that Floyd could be beaten is against a younger Floyd Mayweather.
You say something else, I'll whip your ass in the octagon, bitch.
No, you won't. You won't do shit, okay? All right, if it was 50 years earlier, there would be no such thing as the octagon, okay? Thank you. So we'll see where that goes right there. Okay. Shannon Briggs coming out and saying, if Roy Jones is having second thoughts, tag me in. I'll fight Tyson. You here for that?
Yeah, I kind of would rather. I've been waiting to see our guy Shannon Briggs get a payday, get a fight out of. He's been doing this act for like more than half a decade now. Let's go, champ! Give this man a fight. I hope he's getting paid off it somehow.
Yeah, champ, you're gonna need a couple pies. You need at least one, right?
He flew to Germany with pies.
Yeah, you're gonna need at least one pie. Can this guy eat? I mean, you know what AJ said, right? right?
Everybody's got to eat, baby.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was very nice of you. All right, enough meandering here. Let's get into this this great weekend of fights. And the big one takes place inside this here Mohegan bubble, Uncasville, Connecticut. 7 p.m. Eastern, Saturday night, Showtime pay-per-view. It's Charlo on Charlo Violence. Two main events, 2-3 fight cards each. And that first main event, Rafe, it's Jermall Charlo. Unbeaten, 30-0, 22 KO. It's going to put that WBC belt at middleweight on the line against a man who's been there before, the technician, Sergey Derevyanchenko. Split decision loss to Daniel Jacobs. That, look, he was there. He was in that fight. I'm not going to say it was disputed or controversial. He was in that fight after the first round knockdown. It's the one with Gennady where you could kind of flip the coin or say maybe he deserved better when he lost a close unanimous decision. It's the toughest challenge of Jermall's career. We have both agreed on that. What are you thinking on this fight coming in? What are you going to look out for? What are you going to know? I mean, who has the advantage in certain areas? What's on the mind of Boogs on all things mall technician?
Well, it is extremely interesting because Jermall Charlo, while looking like a dynamite fighter pretty much throughout his entire career, hasn't been all that tested. His best win is the knockout over J-Rock, which is a very, very good win. Other than that, it's kind of a barren wasteland on his resume. And he's been, and at middleweight, it's just been a joke, right? I mean, winning, defending title, getting elevated to champion with the WBC because Saul Canelo Alvarez was put franchise champion, and then fighting against Brandon Adams. Like these are dumb fights. He beat Dennis Hogan, right? Another dumb fight. But he looks good, man. And I think he is good. And Derevyanchenko is sort of the opposite where, you know, he's only fought, 15 times, got a couple losses, but he's been in tough several times, especially tough with Jacobs and Golovkin. But Jack Colquay too ain't exactly a slouch and gave him some trouble. But he in his two losses, even in the Golovkin fight, which honestly I had to look back at, and he probably won. He probably deserved to win, except for maybe the it comes down to looks like he kind of deserved like a 7-5 minus the knockdown, so up a point overall on Golovkin in that. It was but he doesn't close well. He doesn't start well, and he doesn't finish well. He gets real hot in those middle rounds and looks like he's taking over the fight. But he let Golovkin come back and finish strong in that fight, I thought, and that was enough to give the house fighter the close decision on the scorecards. I wonder what it's going to be like against Jermall Charlo, who has some athletic advantages over him, hasn't been in the tough fights. We don't know if that Golovkin fight just took a lot of the starch out of Sergey Derevyanchenko.
It took a piece of his soul.
It's possible. I mean, did you see his face after that fight? It was not in good shape. He looked, even though I think there's a strong argument that he won that fight by rounds, he looked like he took the far worse beating. But
it was a war. It was a freaking war. With one of the hardest punchers in the game.
That's also because we probably didn't see the blood that Triple G pissed after all those body shots.
Yikes. Yeah. Do you think his bladder looked like a 2-liter bottle of Big Red?
Just spraying all the walls like the old SNL commercial. Yes. Brian, I guess the interesting question in this fight is going to be if Derevyanchenko can get inside, can get effing inside on Jermall Charlo and pressure him. A, how does Charlo deal with that? And B, can he do enough to beat him there and keep the fight there? It's close. What do you think?
Yeah, this is, look, the big intrigue here is what you said. We haven't seen Jermall at 60 remotely pushed outside of Korobov, who was able to box him and just be a tough out. not hurt him, not anything like that, but just be a tough out. Be a guy who had a chance to claim it on the scorecards. He could get deep end of the pool in here. Did I just have an ED on the end of that? He could get thrown here in the deep end of the pool, and that's what we want to see. You want to see that about anybody who you are teasing at the idea of eventually throwing a pound-for-pound vote. You can't throw the pound-for-pound vote at him until you really see, unless they're just on a Gennady-like run back in the day of just destroying people, and your eye test is just so, you know, you can't, in fact, the eye test, you can't even see because you're so full-masked, it's blocking your vision. We're certainly not there on Jermall, although we respect his unbeaten record, the combination of speed and power that both Charlos have, one of the best parts of the Charlos in general, and I think Jermall has this more than Mel, is that like fierce attitude, anger, hatred in the ring. I mean, Jermall is a finisher. He goes in there not to be your friend. He goes in there to at least attempt to take your soul. So you want to see what happens when somebody can take your best shots, can come back on you. And I think the fact that Derevchenko, who I don't think we've ever tried to miscast as this giant knockout puncher. He's not, right? He'll hurt you. But I think it's more of, you know, he can get inside and he's comfortable inside because his footwork's so good, his technique is so good, and he's a real man in there. He will fight to the Jeff Horn death, so to speak. He'll, as Dean Lonergan would say,
he should just harden up. Like, seriously, bang it full of quarters and get on with it.
He'll bang you with the roll of quarters, all right? That's how hardened up he will get. I want to see what happens. And by the way, we may just find out that a real challenge raises Jermall's game. Jermall may end up, you know, because look, you can drop Sergey Derevchenko. The elites have done it, both in the first round. He may get dropped a couple times in this fight. It could be over in the fourth round. And we go, holy shit, Jermall is for real. But I want to see what happens when and if that doesn't happen. I want to see what happens in the middle rounds, like you say, when suddenly Jermall is pushed to a level of exertion that he's never been in before. Not exertion of a Korobov trying to steal rounds from you, but somebody who's trying to steal your damn soul. And then we see him fight. Then we see whether his speed can adjust against a guy with pretty good speed and pretty good power, but great technique. It is going to be so much fun to find that out. If Jermall goes in there and just absolutely wipes this guy out, yeah, we have to recalibrate A, what we think about Jermall, and B, where his place is in this larger middleweight division with an aging Triple G, with a Canelo who we're not even sure will ever fight at 60 again, and with a few other names. It's a lower ceiling, which I think was the point you were trying to make before when it sounded like you were shitting on 54. Were you shitting on 54 before?
Yeah, I was squatting a little bit over that division.
How dare you?
Another hot beef injection.
So I think the most intriguing part of this fight will be if and when the technician can effing get inside on him. Can he make this a fight? Can he go to the body? Can he corner Jermall? Can he take, you know, look, from your eye test, from what you've seen, is Jermall's punching on the level of a Triple G or a Danny Jacobs?
On the level of a Danny Jacobs, I would say yes. I believe it has a chance to be that good. Let me think about it. What good middleweights has Danny Jacobs knocked out other than, I guess you could count Peter Quillin, but other than that, what has he done? What great punching has he done?
Wow. Is this a referendum on the legacy of Danny Jacobs?
Danny Jacobs, you're the boy. Like, you put it on him, you know.
It's Danny's night, I thought, here, Rafe, all right? No, right?
I guess. Look,
I got better Wi-Fi here. Hold on, than I do at home. His run at 60 since beating the cancer had been a bunch of no names: Jared Fletcher's, Giovanni Lorenzo's, you know, whatever. He stopped Caleb Truex. He stopped Sergio Mora once by injury, once by real stoppage, and he sent Peter Quillin on ice skates and didn't knock him down, but did get the stoppage. You know, that's it. Decisions with Luis Arias, decision with Selecki, decision with Derevchenko. So maybe you're not wrong here, right? He is, but I mean, if you make a mistake, if you're a B fighter, Jacobs will send you to hell. But we're talking about potential A fighters here.
Right. And I think there's, so I do believe there's potential for Jermall Charlo to show that, yes, he is a more dominating fighter, a more has a higher ceiling at 160 and in general than Danny Jacobs did in his absolute prime, which I think he's probably out of. You could yell at me if you think that he's still in it. But compared to Triple G's power, no. I mean, like, you saw, like, when, especially in the, say, from, 2012, when Golovkin, even against the guys that he was fighting, the Froscas, the Gabriel Good Boy Rosados, the Curtis Stevenses, Nobuhiro Ishida, all them guys, Macklin, one touch. It took one touch, and they were on the back foot like, oh, my God. Like little Emmanuel stewards screaming in their ears. Saying, oh, my God. Look at this.
Just tell your parents, just come.
Yeah, that was serious power. Those were very, very heavy hands. I don't think that Charlo has that, but he's more explosive. He's faster. He has kind of a more, a better chance of landing a shot that an opponent doesn't see coming because of his hand speed, because of some of the angles that he'll throw shots from, such as that uppercut. He's more of a counterpuncher than Golovkin was, who was really going to bring on pressure and throw combinations. But once you threw back, this is one of his biggest flaws as a fighter that Canelo was able to exploit in their fights. Once you throw back, he holds his fire. He'll let you get yours off and then try and shoot back at you instead of throwing with you. So Charlo can surprise and stun and perhaps catch Derevyanchenko with a shot that he doesn't see coming, which we all know, the cliche in boxing, those are the ones that knock you out.
Yeah, indeed. Let's go to the interview now, Sergey Derevyanchenko, and we'll react to that. I know what you're thinking. Where's the Charlos? I'm going to be speaking to the Charlos this week for CBS Sports HQ on Thursday. That will be part of our bonus goodbye podcast later this week. Rafe and I kissing on the mouth every single one of our listeners. But for now, it is the technician time with a little bit of help from his wife. Here, his Russian wife here, the Ukrainian wife,
to help
on the translation. It's the technician coming at you right now. Enjoy. Sergey, thank you so much for the time, sir. This is a massive fight, but be honest with me. Are they selling this fight as the Charlos only and not selling this fight enough as Sergey Derevyanchenko has a great chance here to be the world champion?
Он говорит, типа, что регулирует файт, типа, его брата больше, чем, типа, твой, как бы, как ты это...
Yeah, he... Это его проблема.
It's his problem, Sergey, not so really searching everything in the internet. He just has his preparation, and he not so really worry about promotion.
Sergey, what does this fight mean for you at age 34 to be in this spot headlining a pay-per-view? What's at stake for your career?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel young.
He's good condition right now, and he's ready. He's impressive. He's really experiences, and he's ready to be world champion.
How hard is it to deal with the Jacobs fight and the Golovkin fight, where you thought you won, but the judges disagreed?
Он типа что ты как ты чувствуешь, что ты выиграл, но судьи они согласны, что ты же.
Ну, я никак не могу повлиять на судей.
I can't change the judge's score and I can just show the good boxing show and I can do what I can do. I'm not can change the judge's score, and I just show what I can.
Because the judges scored those fights against you, does that change your strategy for Charlo?
Did you put that? Mm-hmm.
Ну, я об этом не думаю, брата. А этих джоджерс я буду выходить в ринг и опять показывать очень хороший бокс.
I need to really figure out about and not to really focus about judges score. I'm always focused on a real boxing show, on a real fight, and I'm always trying to be ready for the next opponent. I'm trying to show the good boxing show. And it was so sad for me, but is not a big deal. I will be ready in 26 September.
You were able to hurt Gennady Golovkin, and nobody hurts Triple G. So do you think Charlo has the chin and toughness to take your shots?
Типа, ты думаешь, что у Чарло будет подбородок типа сильнее, чем Головкин?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. It is. We'll see. It is this another boxer, another style. You know, it is interesting. Another age, and so really, this fight is really interesting.
Tell me about how you were able to get your nickname, the Technician.
Andrew, he nickname gave me and Andre Rozier, because when I started training for United States with Andre and Andre Rozier and Gary Stark, and when I sparring, when I move, when I training, and
and after this, the Andre gave me this nickname because I was so different from other boxers in the gym.
Tell me about this amateur career. I hear you've defeated Usyk and many other big names. Please share some of those names with me.
Yeah, это было давно.
It was long time ago. And,
yeah, it is long time ago. Yeah, I'm fight for Usyk. I'm fight with Gvozdik and more people for Ukrainian boxers.
Just like a team, they was in one team and they fight with each other in the same weight category, and it happened in the past. Of course, sometimes they had some fight inside the Ukraine.
Sergey, what is it about Ukrainian fighters these days? Every time I hear one is going to fight, they win a world title. I mean, we're talking Usyk, we're talking Lomachenko, we're talking Derevchenko. What the heck's going on in Ukraine?
I don't know the Ukrainian crazy people.
Crazy boxer.
Sergey, please give me your opinion on Jermall Charlo, and specifically, if you think he has enough experience to be able to defeat you.
У него достаточно опыта, чтобы драться с тобой?
Да, у него 30 боев, и у него много боев по профессионалам, да, и я его смотрел бои, да, у него достаточно техники и опыта.
Yes, he's enough experience. I saw a lot of his fights, and he has more than 30 fights in a professional boxer career, and he's really good opponent, and I respect him, and of course, I will be ready to fight him.
Respect him like boxer.
I respect him like a boxer, like an athlete, because he did a great job in his professional career.
While you have respect for him as a boxer, do you have the same respect for him as a man? Because the Charlos are very brash and aggressive, and many of their opponents tend to get in arguments with them.
Ну, типа, беру вражденного как человека. Типа, может сказать, я не знаю его как человека. I don't know him personally, and that's why maybe just like part of his show, what he wants to show.
Ну, иногда, когда он кому-то так обращается, мне это не нравится.
And sometimes when I listen in his interview or some speaking, I don't really like, but it's his opinion and it's his move. I don't know. I can judge him, but I don't like if he is speaking bad about people. I don't like this.
Were you surprised, Sergey, that you were able to walk through such big punchers as Jacobs and Golovkin and almost be the fresher fighter late in that fight? Did that surprise you at all at your own toughness?
Can I say one more time? Did
Sergey surprise himself at all with his ability to take big punches from Jacobs and Golovkin and keep fighting?
Типа, как ты выдерживал эти все? Короче, когда ты получал удары, как ты выдерживал? Как ты думаешь, сможешь ли ты?
Я был в хорошей физической готовности, если бы и в этот раз я тоже хорошо подошел к бою.
Those fights, I was in a good physical and emotional condition, and same thing with this fight. I'm ready to fight Charlo. I'm in a good physical condition, I'm good in mental condition, I'm in a good age and experience, and I have everything to defeat him.
Sergey, do you prefer that this fight with Charlo is more of a technical boxing match or more of a brawl and a fight?
Потому что будет техничный фight, будет драка.
Ну, поначалу как бы техничный, а может будет меняться все по ходу боя.
Probably we can start like technic boxer, but during the fight everything can be changed. And
can you change? I'm changed.
If I need to be changed, I'll do this. If I need to do fight like in a street, I will do this. If I need to show the technical box, I'm ready to do this also. It depends on the situation during the fight.
For sure. Yes, yes. Why is it so important to win a world title in this fight for you?
It's my dream. It's a big deal.
Я всю жизнь как бы посвятил этому виду спорта, и это моя мечта.
I'm boxing all my life, and I was dreaming about this since 10 years old. And of course, when I get this belt, I will be so happy.
What has been the reaction in Ukraine after your two close defeats?
Как в Украине реагировали на то, что ты два раза боксировал очень близко и не забрал титул?
Ну, все мои близкие, мои фанаты и моя семья были, этим расстроены.
Like all my friends, all my family, and close people, they was really sad about this, and everybody supports me and tell me, you won, you're good, don't worry, your chance in the future, and everything can be in the future also.
I've called
just no worry.
Sergey, I've called you the best kept secret in boxing. Why do you think it's been such a secret? You have a chance to become a star against Charlo, but why have people sometimes overlooked you?
What do you mean overlooked?
I mean, like, they talk more about Charlo than they talk about Sergey.
Ну, не знаю, он как бы американец, он разговаривает на английском, он больше раскручен.
Do you think just about he's American, he's speaking English, and he is more popular in USA, and that's why from this point from the USA country, of course people talking more about Charlo. For example, in Europe people know more Sergey and they talking about more about Sergey. It depends the side where you look in this situation.
Ну и я боксировал.
And
буквально там последние бои как бы на телевидении, на больших телевидениях. А так я боксировал на маленьких платформах.
And also only few of big fights he has shown it on a big TV show, and that's why not everybody know him yet, and that's why people know more about Charlo, of course, because he was more showing in a boxing show during last 5 years.
Well, here's the important question, Sergey. What are the American fans going to say about the technician after September
26th? После этого 26 сентября. Мне кажется, они уже говорят много.
Ну да, я думаю, что они скажут. Да, это настоящий чемпион.
Yes, I want to be a real champion, not paper champion. And after this fight, I hope so I can prove that I'm real champion, not paper champion. And that's, I think, the people should say. And that's more important because all the boxers trying to show the show for people, for fans, not for judges. And that's why it's more important.
For sure. My last question, Sergey, do you ever dream about what it will feel like if you defeat Charlo and they put the belt around your waist and say, and new champion, Sergey Derevyanchenko, do you dream about that? What does it feel like when you think about that?
Yeah, I'm dream. But when you say he's the new champion, у меня мурашки пошли.
He has like feeling inside his body and on his skin. You know, it's like, I don't know how to say in English. It's like a small insect. Under your skin, you know.
yeah, because I really want it is listen for the new champion on the world, the technician. Yeah,
I love it, Sergey. Thank you so much for your time, sir. Best of luck, September 26th. Thank you for your wife for translating. Take care of yourself, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Special thanks to both the Derevchenkos, the dad, the guy, and the wife. You know. Hey, by the way, I was in the COVID line today with Brandon Figueroa, and no sign of Omira though. All right.
I'm sorry for you, Brian. I'm sorry you did not get that moment.
I saw Brandon. I took his bell and his sister. All right. So here's what the technician basically said, Rafe. Okay. I was sort of taken aback in a good way that, like, in this era of, you know, belt proliferation, there's titles, there's tattoo on tattoos on everyone's got a title, right? Here, you want a title? Well, Oprah's giving out titles. Just that pure dream is driving Derevchenko in this fight. I mean, look, he's 34. The window's not going to be open forever, especially if he has hard fights like he had against Golovkin, like you mentioned, and Jacobs, and if this one's a hard one. In some ways, it feels like this is now or never, and to hear that purity out of his voice that, like, I've been dreaming about this my whole life. This is, you know, this was my way out. I remember being 6 years old watching Tyson and Foreman and all them on TV. It kind of reminds you, it's touching of, you know, boxing is full of shit, but yet it still matters. And you have to believe you're going to get the very best of what's left. I mean, this is all or nothing here. Third time's the charm, or maybe it's not for Derevchenko. So I think you heard that hunger there. One thing I want to get your take. I asked him was, you know, you got robbed twice by the judges in your eyes. You're not harping on it, but you got, you know, in your eyes, you thought you won both fights. Do you alter your style? Do you change? Do you be more aggressive? Do you do anything differently? He said, basically, Rafe, no, you know, almost like I trust the process. Those fights were what they were. I can't judge the fight for them. They're the judges. I'm just going to do what I do. Is that smart? Is that smart to go back to the well the third time? Whether the judges got it wrong or they just didn't think he put a complete 12-round performance in, do you come in against Charlo with that same mentality you did those other two fights?
Well, Brian, how do you think that Derevchenko can improve on those performances again that he had against Danny Jacobs and Gennady Golovkin? I mean, it's not like he wasn't aggressive. It's not like he didn't go for it against them. It's not like he didn't effing get inside on them and win several rounds against both of those elite fighters. He did. It's just that he got knocked down in the first round of both fights, and he didn't finish strong in both of them. And he basically left the door open despite having a really good effort in both. And having some claim, even though I don't think he won both, he has enough of a claim to feel the way he does. I don't think that he necessarily, like, there's a problem with his approach to those fights, Brian. I just think that if anything, Derevchenko should just be like, maybe this time I should try not to get knocked down early. And in the last two rounds, whatever he's got to do, I know, look, the way he fights, he's very physical, he's up close, he's active, all of that's part of who he is as a fighter. So maybe it's too easy on our part to say, well, he should save something for later, make sure he can finish strong. But hope, at least in this fight against Jermall Charlo, if he's still in the fight in the last three rounds, in the championship rounds, rounds 10, 11, 12, if he's got anything more to give, give every last ounce. Don't let someone close the door on him like happened in those other fights. And look, let's be honest. This is boxing. He could put in that kind of performance and still lose because, yes, you know what? The Charlos are still the house fighters on Saturday night.
You're damn right.
What more should he do, do you think?
Look, I think when you look at this, I think you're right. I if I'm him, I'm not going to take the chance that the judges are going to appreciate my craft, or that there isn't going to be one of the three judges who automatically is going 118, 110 for Jermall. I'm sorry. That happens. That's in play in our analysis. That happens in this game. So I think he has to be looking at, you know, in training camp at, I need to put on the most pressure I've ever done. It doesn't have to be reckless pressure, though, because, look, the key for him is to get inside. Jermall's a big puncher. He needs a little bit of room and extension on those shots. The best place for him would be inside. I think he's got to get in that ass. And he's got to do it in an intelligent way, but pressure, body pressure, stay close, stay tight. Try to put Jermall in a situation that he's never been in before, which is not only a guy who has the balls to try to stand in there, but has the stamina and the skill combined to swim without getting wet, to quote the great Nazim Richardson. He's got to look at this like, I've got to break his will. I've got to run out Jermall's gas tank. I've got to do that and leave nothing to chance. I fear that there's a little bit of an artist in him too much. Like, we used to talk about the Cuban fighters, right? The Laras, you know, the Rigos, where it's like they're too content with, well, I just painted my picture for 12 rounds. If you don't, if the judges don't believe or the announcers or the reporters don't like it, well, you don't know art. You don't know shit about art. So F you. That's not going to get you a world title if that's your dream. The way you're going to get a world title is to expose Jermall as being somebody who looks great against B fighters who's never been in there at this level, at this weight class, with a real A fighter. I think you got to look at it as it's not a brawl, but it's a high speed. This is high speed chess, man. This is come at it and bring it and try to see what can happen if the other guy gasses. I don't know. You know, you have to put him in spots he's never been in. You're not going to outslug Jermall. I don't think you're going to purely outbox him to enough of a wide enough gap where you're going to guarantee you're going to get the decision. So you got to try to wear this dude down. That's the game. The game is the game. Omar said that.
I hear you, Brian. Look, but here's a difference between Sergey Derevyanchenko as an artiste and the Arislandi Laras, the Guillermo Rigondeaux, the Cubans who sometimes don't get they're what they deserve on the scorecards because they're not active enough. I mean, Derevyanchenko is the technician and he's a well-schooled fighter. He's a former Olympian, all that stuff, but he's very active. His style is educated pressure, right? And he likes to get inside and is very adept at pivoting inside, outside pivots, basically turning on the inside rather than retreating in and out so he can stay within distance and while giving enough different angles to keep his defense responsible. And basically what I'm saying is I don't think that his style is not attractive to judges in the way that some of the pure boxing stylists, the Cuban style, the hit and don't get hit, stink out a fight style, those guys who get jobbed on scorecards. Derevyanchenko is in there. He's usually out throwing a lot of his opponents. I would need to look at the CompuBox on the Jacobs fight and the Golovkin fight again. But if he didn't out throw one or both of them, I doubt there is a vast disparity. And say Golovkin did out throw him, he would have out thrown him in jabs, not in power punches. I'm sure Derevyanchenko threw more power shots with all those body shots he was throwing in that. And all of it adds up to he has a friendly style to judges, and it's just that he's been in close fights where he was the B-side, and his performance, because of the knockdowns, because he hasn't looked like a strong finisher, prevented him from getting the nod on those judges' scorecards, but they were all close, and they were, in the case of the Golovkin fight, he had a chance to win going into those last rounds and the last round. So he really, I don't think that he needs to change his style. I don't think he needs to step on the gas more, but he does need to get inside. He does need on Charlo and fight his fight. And the thing I'm excited about in this fight, Brian, is I think he can do that because Charlo, we've never seen him deal with a guy who can box, knows how to handle himself, and looks to get inside, right? We've seen him against probably some cavemen when he was a prospect or rising the ranks, a young contender. But these were they weren't operating. I can't remember if it was Jermell or Jermall, but I remember in Carson seeing H. Harlow fight Hector Munoz, one of these guys who has gun tattoos on his back. Yeah, he's a guy who looks to get inside, but he had no chance of ever doing that against a Charlo. And this is the thing. Derevyanchenko can, and I think he will. And if Charlo wins this fight, it's going to be because Jermall Charlo is that good and is on a level of a late career
Jermall, brother. Jermall.
Triple G.
Yeah, Jermall.
Yes, okay. Jermall Charlo. Yes, thank Jermall. You. He fought Munoz?
And I don't know, but you said Jermell. Okay, so if you don't know about him.
If you don't know who he is.
I'm talking Big Charlo right now.
Yeah, Big Charlo. Okay, thank you. Lions only. Thank you. A couple times you threw some slander at Danny in there. I didn't like that.
What's the deal? Does Danny Jacobs have bad breath or something?
Here's the thing.
Yeah, he's just trying to touch M's right now. You know it and I know it.
Remember when Danny said that thing that got me all excited? You remember that, right? This is a little bit of a sidebar, but I like sidebars.
Did he do it, Brian? Did he do it?
It don't matter what round. Put him in there and I knock him out.
If Danny Jacobs...
He must have meant the 15th round then.
If Danny Jacobs had fought a half speed more aggressive and faster and more urgent, would he have... beaten Canelo by decision, because he was close. Look, I scored that. I think I scored that a draw, and people laughed at me. And
how'd
most people
that go
had,
on your Twitter, Brian.
Most people had Canelo like 7-5, whatever. Which look, it's a close fight. Okay, I thought Danny deserved like a split decision loss. Basically, if he had stepped it up a little bit, would he have won a decision? Could he have stopped Canelo, or would he have been stopped by trying to do a little bit too much? Because that I look back at that night and I still think that for prime middleweight Canelo, Danny Jacobs was the perfect package of a man outside of Gennady with the intelligence, the power, and the jab.
Who pretty much did beat him at least once.
Right. You know, the perfect package, and who else in boxing is going to give you that kind of package to beat him? I still think he could have. He almost did. What would have happened if Danny went in there more urgent and said, this is the biggest fight of my life. I'm not leaving anything to chance.
He should have done it, right? I mean, we've heard Andre Rozier. He told that if Danny had done exactly what you're saying, that Andre Rozier, the former trainer of Danny Jacobs, believes that he would have won that night, and he was frustrated and disappointed that it didn't work out that way.
He didn't tell me that, but I agree with him. I do agree with him. So the question here, the big unknown,
it exists.
You have to use the restroom. Do you want me to pause this?
Kinda, yeah.
All right. We're gonna take a quick break as Rafe Bartholomew uses the restroom. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. All right. So look, the great unknown in this fight is whether Jermall is on the level of 2018 Danny Jacobs or last fall's aging Gennady Golovkin. If he is, Rafe, if his chin is all that, if his stamina is all that, if he's able to make the kind of adjustments that he hasn't really had to outside of the Khorabov fight, then he can win this. He can either win it by stoppage, which is in play at any point because he's a real puncher and an athlete, or he can win a decision. If he's not, though, he's going to lose this fight, and that's why I love it so much, because you can argue whether banana is the toughest test for Jermell, but there's no question this is the toughest test for Jermall. We're going to find out what we're supposed to find out, unless Fan Man flies in, and he ain't allowed in the COVID-free area. So, Rafe, prediction time, what you got?
It's an interesting fight, Brian. Man, it's tough. I think I'm not a true believer in the technician, in Sergei Derevyanchenko. I think that Charlo, I believe in Jermall Charlo's talent. I wish we had a chance to see it at this level before this weekend, but we're going to see it now. And I think he's going to, the Charlos, man, they seem emotional, right? You watch them on social media, they seem like loose cannons. But in the ring, they're pretty cool. And they have chins. They can take a tough shot. And they come back. And they find ways to win fights. Now, we've seen that more with Jermell, who's been in against tougher competition. But I think that Jermall Charlo has that too. And I think that between his talent, his youth, the really tough fights that Derevyanchenko has had that I think may have taken something out of him, especially that Triple G fight last year. I'm seeing it as a good test, but the fresher, more talented fighter pulls this one out. And I'm thinking he won't need help from the judges, but he gets some of that too. So what feels like a 7-5 or 8-4 decision, comes in the scorecards as like a 9-3 or 10-2 decision.
It's going to be a fight that say, you and the Eubank and everybody else that's down, Jamal Charlotte. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put my life on the line. I hope you tune in.
I will be. In fact, I'll be in the building. You have actually talked me into the idea, and I've been back and forth on this fight for a while, that maybe not necessarily what you're saying, that Sergey Derevchenko was never what we built him up to be, but that maybe he had to pour out a little bit of his prime to get to that point in that Golovkin fight. And that was just last fall. If he ain't at 100% of what Sergey Derevchenko can be, and then adding that extra 5-10% that he would need to get over the hump of the judges, if he does commit to that high intelligent pressure style, he's gonna ask Jermall to knock him out. And I think Jermall's gonna do it. I actually think this will be the big winner will be Jermall Charlo of this pay-per-view. Jermall Charlo is gonna knock out Sergey Derevchenko late and is gonna be able to at least have that say that I might be the best middleweight in the world, and we would have to reevaluate that after the fact. I am ready to do that for Big Charlo right now.
Right on, brother. I mean, look, middleweight's a weird division right now because Canelo's still in it. Probably not. Who's going to move up from 154? Will they be as good as Charlo even if they do? What prospect? Right? It doesn't really have a lot going for it right now. But shit, if Jermall Charlo can establish himself as the man in that division, which this win probably would do, unless you consider Canelo still a middleweight, then, you know, he's eaten. He gets the big drumstick at every dinner until someone comes along and challenges that.
Yeah. My favorite food, meat. Thank you. double kebab. Thank you. All right. Let's go over to that second main event, the second of the two that's coming after the morning combat.
Can I ask you a question, Brian?
Yes, Rafe. What do you got for me?
Well, which is the main event, right? Who does Jermall coming later?
Jermall coming
him,
first.
What's that?
Jermall comes first. And what do you ask?
So does Jermall Charlo fighting in the second main event, does that make him the true main event of the night, the double main event? Or is it Jermall because that's more of the prime time slot? Because the Jermall Charlo Banana Rosario fight's probably going to come on at 2 a.m. on the East Coast.
Stop that. Stop that crap, first of all.
There's six fights starting at 7 p.m., Brian. You tell me.
I think it's because Jermall, when they flipped the coin for that December 2018 Fox main event, Fox doubleheader, I think it's because Jermall got that one. Now Jermall gets this one. I don't have a fact on that. Obviously, this was done in a secret underground mountain cave in Al Heyman's office and with a slide rule and a Ouija board, and that's how they figured out who gets to
underneath
go last.
The Denver airport.
Thank you very much. All right. By the way, I did get drunk last night in Luke Thomas's hotel room, and we had many a conspiracy argument, okay? I'm not going to tell you about which one, all right? But, you know, it came down to, I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. We'll stop right there. I'm sorry. All right, we'll stop right there. There's many conspiracies in boxing, too, Rafe. I don't know if you know that.
Right. I do know, man. All boxing right. is a hood sport.
Yeah, it definitely is, you know?
Right? If you look at boxing hard enough, you're going to find people with colorful pants. Not just
man with
wearing
the black
boxing
hat.
Gloves.
Yep, that man did have a black hat, that is for sure. All right, the second main event is going to be a junior middleweight unification. This is a big deal. Rafe, I want to ask you. I think Jermall Derevchenko has a slightly better matchup, given Derevchenko's resume compared to Rosario. Which one do you think is the main event, not from who goes on last or whatever, but which one do you think is the bigger marquee fight? Because you do have the 3 out of 4 belt element in the second one.
Well, I guess that's for people who care about these belts, which we all know are not all that meaningful. So no, I'm sticking with Jermall Charlo versus Sergey Derevchenko as the overall best fight of this card. Now, that doesn't mean that Jermall and Banana Rosario is not also good, but it just Derevchenko, I mean, that's a real test. Also, the excitement of seeing Jermall facing that level of test pretty much for the first time, whereas this won't In my opinion, unless Rosario proves me otherwise, this doesn't on paper look like the toughest test of Jermell Charlo's career.
It's interesting. I didn't think it was at first. Tony Harrison, and you know, has a better resume than Rosario. You know, fought very well against Jermell. I think you can make arguments that that was his toughest fight on paper. Maybe the rematch coming in after losing. But, you know, going back and watching some tape of Banana Rosario, and by the way, there's not a lot of it, and some of it, you know, he didn't look otherworldly against Jorge Cota when he won by split decision. He didn't look otherworldly.
This ain't Jorge Cota.
He didn't look, you know, otherworldly when he lost to Nathaniel Gallimore either. But there are certain elements of this fight that are very interesting. The fact that I don't think it's romantic, you know, when you hear that Jason Rosario has never had a full training camp until the last one ahead of, you know, J-Rock Williams. And then look at what we saw. I don't know. That's romantic. It doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, give this guy a full training camp and he'll be a superstar. But I think there's something to that. And then you mix in the fact he's only 25. Banana's only 25. I don't think he knows how good he can be. And we're going to talk to him right now. He has no freaking fear at all. It's Banana Rosario coming at you. Let's enjoy this first. All right? Enjoy, player. Thank you, gentlemen, for the time. Banana, my man. Pay-per-view, main event. How you feeling, brother?
Bueno, realmente me siento súper bien. Me siento súper agradecido con Dios. Y me siento bien emocionado. Más que quien me está entrevistando.
He said, actually, I mean, I feel grateful, very motivated first, very grateful to God for the opportunity, you know what I mean? Very motivated, ready to go. And he even happier for the person there who interviewed him, you know what I mean? He liked that assignment of you.
Yeah, excellent. Love it. Jason, here's what I think when I look at this fight. I feel like you don't know yet how great you can be. And us as boxing fans, we aren't sure yet. I feel like we didn't know who you were, but then the Cota fight, then the Williams fight. I don't know what your ceiling is as a fighter. Do you feel that same way?
Bueno, realmente no me estoy enfocando mucho en lo que es, en lo que va a pasar. Trato de aprender de los errores del pasado y trabajar muy, muy, muy duro en el presente. Para que mi futuro sea más fácil.
He said the reality is actually he doesn't think much of the future. You know what I mean? He tried to learn from his past mistakes, get better every day. You know what I mean? Think of what's coming ahead, which is the fight with Charlo. He's here in the gym learning every day. He's learning new things every day. You know what I mean? I think it will be the beginning of me, you know, this is the year of fight, which is the beginning of how far I'll be able to make it.
This division is loaded, and this fight, you could argue, gives the winner control of the entire division. Jason, did you expect that at only age 25 that you could be in the driver's seat here?
Realmente no lo imaginaba. Realmente.
He said, actually, you know, I never in the 25 I will be here, you know what I mean? I learned from my mistake. I got the opportunity to fight J-Rock. I did training camp for the first time because I feel that's what we needed to do. And you guys saw the result. You know, I never imagined it. He's grateful to God for this opportunity. You know what I mean? He's going to take a full advantage to all those opportunities they're opening up to him.
When you get the type of big knockout victory that you had against J-Rock, if people didn't know you, they might think, wow, this guy is a killer, a slugger, a knockout puncher. Is that a correct assumption for the average fan, or do you think more like a pure boxer?
Realmente, yo lo que sé pelear y mi mayor herramienta es la fuerza. Si me veo en la situación de tener que boxear, lo voy a hacer, pero mi gusto y mi sentir es siempre ir y pelear
y acabar con lo que frente a mí.
You see, what I know how to do, what I like how to do is fight, to go to war and fight. That's what I like what to do. That's what I'm more, you know, recognize myself for my strength, my power. He feel if come a situation where he need to bust, he will be able to bust. But what is to him and his mind, I'm a puncher, I'm strong, and I love to fight. That's what I know what to do. And also, I don't have to require to be, you know, to bust. If he require, I will bust. But if he doesn't, we're going to go to war. That's what I like to do.
The Charlo brothers have a reputation as being brash, sometimes angry, sometimes loud, a lot of things that tends to get them in arguments with their opponents. I'm wondering if Jason looks at Jermell, you know, under what, how does he see him? Does he see him as, you know, a clown, or see him as a tough guy?
Bueno, realmente, Charlo, esa es su persona. Realmente no me interesa. No me interesa su persona, realmente el 26, él va a pelear conmigo y solo vamos a estar él y yo. Y no creo que sea bueno gastar la energía hablando. Si va a necesitar mucha energía para el 26.
He said, you know, come 26, September 26, it be me and him fighting. There will be no talk, there will be no angriness or anything like that. He actually doesn't see Charlo is anyway or clown or angry man or tough guy. You know, he sees Charlo as a fighter. If he wanted with his energy, with arguments and screaming and angriness, you know what I mean? That's his problem. He's saving his energy for September 26th. Coming September 26th, just me and him. There's no talk. There's no anything but me and him inside the ring.
Is it any extra motivation that even though you're coming in with two belts and Charlo just won, this event for Showtime is being built as the Charlo's night? This pay-per-view is all about making the Charlo's stars. Is there any extra motivation to be the spoiler just like you were against J-Rock?
Estoy excitado. Estoy súper emocionado, realmente. Estoy acostumbrado a esto. Yo vivo para esto. Yo lo voy a hacer. Y, o sea, como dicen en Dominicana, vamos para encima. Eso es lo que hay.
You know what? I live for this. I'm used to coming as an underdog. As you know, my last 9-10 fight, I have come as an underdog. It's no extra pressure for him. It's actually more motivation for him. You know what I mean? Like I say, he have always come as an underdog. You know what I mean? He doesn't think of that. You know what I mean? If he's supposed to lose, nobody they didn't tell of the script. You know what I mean? They didn't tell me that. So somebody forgot to tell me the script that I'm supposed to lose in this fight. Yes, I was in the last fight. Definitely we're going to be the spoiler because I don't see myself like that. You know what I mean? And once again, I'm used to it. There's absolutely zero pressure on me because I'm used to it. How come the last 9 fights? 8-9-5, I come as an underdog, and this is just another night where I'm going to showcase my talent.
I love it. How have you dealt with being a celebrity now in the Dominican Republic after such a big victory? I have to imagine that your name, your face is everywhere.
Oh, realmente, eso se siente bien, pero realmente el plan es, el plan mío es poder realmente sacar a mi familia adelante y poder vivir como todos queremos vivir, bien y cómodo.
He said, you know what I mean? I mean, he feel great. You know what I mean? He doesn't put too much mind to that because he's doing this just to make sure he get his family on top. And you know, I live more comfortable than what he lived. You know what I mean? When he was a kid, you know, that his purpose really. You know what I mean? His people just to become great, you know what I mean, and get his family in a different level and more comfortable than why he was raised, you know what I mean? But being a celebrity now in the area, it feels great. Once again, I just don't see it like that. I'm still the same humble person that I was before, if not even more humble now. You know what I mean? But I'm doing this, you know, I do this not for fame, and do a deal just to get my family on top and have the stuff that he has.
All right, let's talk quickly about the fight from the standpoint of what did you learn from watching Jermell in two very close fights with Tony Harrison?
Bueno, realmente que él es un peleador que sea ganable, que él es un gran campeón, es un gran peleador, pero o sea, demostró que él puede perder, que no es lo que quieren dibujar, que él es un peleador ganable igual que cualquiera.
He said, you know what I learned from the fight, you know what I mean? I mean he knows, you know, Charlo is regarded the number one 154 pound in the world. He earned it, you know what I mean? He respect that, you know what I mean? But what I learned from the fight is that he's not invincible like maybe the promoter's trying to make him look. He's not invincible. He's actually beatable. You know what I mean? He's not invincible. Once again, he's number one spot. You know what I mean? A great fighter. You know what I mean? But a fighter that can lose. You know what I mean? Just like anybody else. You know what I mean? And that's what he really learned from that fight, that he was not invincible like they were trying to play it to be before the Harrison fights.
Okay, final question, and I've loved chatting with you. Do you believe Jermell's chin can be vulnerable if you land the big banana?
No creo. No creo. Creo que no. Creo que no. Creo que realmente lo que traigo son bombas.
He said, I'll be honest with you, I really don't think so. If I land the big banana, I don't think that he or anybody can stand to that. I'm coming with two bombs in my hand on this fight. And I'm going to put it all in the line, you know what I mean, for the big prize, you know. And I'm sure he would do the same. You know what I mean? He called me prepared like never. I called me prepared like never. But if I land the big banana, I don't think he or anybody can be able to take it.
Thank you, Jason. Much love and respect. Can't wait for the fight, sir.
Mucho respeto y mucha buena. Thank you very much. Wow. Same here, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. All right. Special thanks to Chiro, his trainer, for the translation there. I'm fired up when a man will tell me when I hit him with the big banana, Jermell Charlo is not going to be able to take it. But Rafe, what I love about this fight is the unknown of how good is Jason Rosario. We don't know that. He don't know that. And Jermell certainly does not know that. I mean, Jermell knows when he's talking about himself.
Yeah, you know I'm the best.
Which is going to be a challenge. Okay. So, Rafe, Jermell's going to put his BC title on the line against Jason's BA and IBF. That argument that I said before the interview about could this actually be his toughest challenge? I think when you add in the idea that this is a pay-per-view main event, and it's actually the main event of the two of them in terms of which one goes on last, the fact that three of the four titles in control of one of boxing's best and deepest divisions, that might all add into this actually end up becoming Jermell Charlo's toughest fight. Because I don't want to get swayed by one interview. I've been swayed before. HBO 24/7 used to sway us. I always tell this story, Rafe. I knew Mayweather was going to knock out Hatton the whole lead up to the fight and after it, except for when I watched the final episode of 24/7. And for 10 minutes, I was like, is Hatton going to win this? Am I just not realizing that Hatton's going to win this? He's not going to win it. But the people just heard that interview with Banana. When I was done doing that interview, I was wondering if he's going to win this fight, if he's going to knock Jermell out. Rafe, I'll tell you one thing. He showed a chin against J-Rock. He showed perseverance and patience to look for his shot. He's got a big banana, bro. Okay? He's got a finisher. He's got an out punch there. He can shoot that gun. You got to be careful. You don't want to shoot too early.
Maybe he blew his wad early.
You want to blow that thing late. I'm telling you, the stakes, the pressure, the fact that the man across from him could knock him out, this may end up becoming Jermell Charlo's toughest fight of his career. And Jason Rosario is making me want to pick him for the upset here. Do you have any response? You look like you just had a stroke. Like, you know what? Are you there? Rafe? Are you even there? No, you're not there, Rafe. Are you with me? Are you, did I say something that set you off that badly? Are you with me or what, Rafe? Please. Please, I mean...
Are you here with me or not?
Jimmy,
look at
are
me.
Are you with me? Look at me. Are you with me?
All right, Rafe, you are with me. That was my fault there. I'm talking myself into believing in Jason Rosario. Is that crazy?
Look, I don't think it's crazy. The man has two belts. Mox, look at me. I have two belts. And he just beat J-Rock Williams, a really, really, really good fighter. Beat him clearly. Knocked him out in five rounds. Yes, that's that. Take him seriously. I haven't seen enough to be there with you yet. I also haven't interviewed him like you have to get those feels, to have that belief. But is it plausible that a 25-year-old fighter who hasn't been coddled and supported throughout his career, hasn't had all the benefits of being a future world champion, a hot prospect, an A-side fighter throughout his career, now that he's made it there and has resources and has the ability to hire the best sparring partners, to use the best training available, to use every bit of science and experience that he can afford to prepare himself for a fight, yes, he could reach a new level and prove that, whoa, we were wrong about this entire division. In fact, it's Danny's night. This is Banana's division. Yeah, that's possible. I haven't seen enough yet to predict it, especially against Jermell Charlo, who has proven a lot in weight category 154. Right, Brian?
Yeah, he's proven a real lot. He's proven that he can box. He's proven that he can punch and get you out of there with one mistake. And look, he's proven that he's got a chin. Do you remember any moment that he was in trouble?
No. And he has fought John Jackson, who was a big puncher, right? We saw him against Andy Lee back in the day. Obviously, Andy Lee had that incredible come-from-behind knockout win. But the power, and we know who his daddy. We love his daddy, Julian Jackson, the Hawk. We know what kind of power runs in that family, and he had a little bit of it. Jermell lost a lot of rounds in that fight, came back, knocked him out. We saw Jermell Charlo against Tony Harrison, who's knocked out some pretty experienced fighters and has good pop.
Look,
never in trouble there. I mean, Jermell Charlo, no, he's got a chin.
We just summed up that I can be romantic on the idea of Banana Rosario not knowing how good he is, and he figures it out on the go, you know, in the moment. He's in play. He's got nothing to lose, even though he's the guy coming in with two belts, right? He's not the house fighter. He's not a household name. In some ways, he could just go out there and bang. Just throw the hand, see what happens. But you're right. We have not seen – look, the only problem we've ever seen from Jermell, in my eyes, he's always been, you know, he doesn't have like an AB side to him. Like, it's not like he's like not training hard or not, you know, not smart enough or whatever. Like, the only problem was, I think there were times he didn't throw enough punches. And I think he learned a hard lesson against Tony Harrison. And you're right. You can't intelligently predict Rosario here, unless maybe you're in the camp, you're Samson Lukowicz, you know something, you feel something, you believe something. Jermell should win this fight. Will he?
Look, Jermell is the prudent pick. He's the pick that I have downloaded all the information, and this is the most likely outcome. That's why he is, what, a pretty wide favorite, right? He's probably trading at around 3-1 as a favorite against Jason Rosario in this fight, and that seems like a fair price. But that's one of the great things about boxing, right? It is a sport where we don't, it can be difficult to evaluate even good resumes and compare them head to head. And then on top of that, styles do make fights. And Rosario is a big, physical, strong 154 pounder who's going to come in and look to make a statement. I think it's going to be fun. I trust the product on the page here with Jermell Charlo. And I think that he is going to prove that he is the man in this division that I think he already is with another win against Jason Rosario.
Decision?
I don't know exactly how. I don't know. Look, recently, Jermell Charlo has shown that he has some of that big Charlo power, right? I mean, you look at Erickson Lubin, you look at Charles Hatley, you look at when he is caught up to Tony Harrison. That power exists in both twins, in both fists in both twins. But look at him. That's now. A lot of fists.
Look at him now. That's all that breed is half. That one right here. Look at us now.
That's what we're going to be saying after the card, because I do believe.
So, yeah, if I'm confident enough in Jermell Charlo winning this fight, I should be confident enough in saying that he can win this fight by knockout.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm still really excited, maybe because I'll be in the building, because we finally get guys we like and the Charlo brothers as fighters in matchups where they could lose, where it matters, where Jermell could be the player at 54. What's that word again?
Hey, what does it mean, when fighting gets you erect? What does that mean?
Means you have a phoner, right?
Yeah. It means you're rock hard with emotion, right? You've got a fight boner.
I have a Jermell Charlo question with you.
Please.
I consider you something, I wouldn't say a lion tamer, but a Charlo whisperer. Okay. You have a way, the Charlo brothers, they send you to hell sometimes, but they also appreciate you.
I don't know if they think I'm Mike Coppinger. How much do they appreciate me?
They have a rapport with you, regardless of who they think you are. So, Brian, you've interviewed them several times. You've been on TV with them. You've hosted Kate to Kate with them.
Yeah, baby.
You were even in the basement tape version of Tony Harrison versus Jermell Charlo that we all want to see that has never come out because the fight had to get postponed. But Brian, basically, I'm asking you about Jermell. Like, he seemed very emotional lately, right? I mean, going in on his own twin brother on Instagram Live, and they're always emotional online. And do you think that there's anything different this time? Do you think that he's in his own head, that he's going to, that there's a chance that Jermell Charlo could mess this up for himself by being overeager, by blowing his load, so to speak? Is there some head game issues here?
I'll have a better handle, of course, when talking to both of them on Thursday, but from seeing the interviews, I just believe, like, that's who he is in a way, the emotion, the grudges, the, like, you know, I mean, like, Jermell is wild on the mic. I think that's just who he is. He's going to win this fight. He's going to be fine. It's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a fun night. Which Charlo's going to win the night, though? Because I've believed in this narrative that, you know, they compete against each other just as much as they compete against everybody else. It's true, right? Like, they're jealous of each other. They push each other. Who wins this whole card? Who's the big winner?
Ooh, that's interesting, Brian. And you know what? As fun as it is to put both Charlos headlining their own distinct pay-per-views on the same single pay-per-view, however that makes sense in your head, as cool as that idea is, it also means that people are going to compare the brothers' performances. It's inevitable. I suppose it's inevitable just because they're twin brothers who, you know, are both elite boxers. But in any case, Brian, would you choose the Jermall Charlo getting what could be his first truly elite win since the J-Rock win, second overall, a real statement win, first in weight category 160, and another reminder that, hey, I'm not just taking it easy, beating up Brandon Adamses and getting gift decisions against the husk of Matt Korobov when he's not getting injuring himself in the ring and all that stuff. No, I'm here to take souls and take names. That kind of step up statement win.
Korobov's about 38 and drunk.
You tell him, BJ. But yeah, does Jermall Charlo getting a big step up win, arguably against the best opponent of his career, do it for you? Or is it Jermell really taking over, getting and solidifying that statement that junior middleweight is his division, that he's the best fighter, he owns it, he's got 3 out of 4 belts, the other belt doesn't matter, it belongs to a fraud from Brazil, and this is PBC's show, and Jermell Charlo is in the driver's seat? Which is bigger to you?
It's going to depend, obviously, on it's like, you know, in the slam dunk contest, which, you know, I love historically slam dunk contest. You got to sell your dunk, right? And I don't mean sell it by have your Spud Webb jersey underneath that you pull out or whatever, your Superman cape. I mean the old school way. You do a badass two-handed windmill dunk. You get the crowd hyped. You sell that. You get the angry mug on your face. You do the Vince Carter point to the ceiling. If Jermall can beat Sergey Derevyanchenko and then say, Canelo, I want you to be next, my friend, right? And can sell that shit. Or if Jermell can be like, all the belts are mine. Put these, Max, I want three belts all over. Hang one belt on my giant dong. I mean, look, it's going to be, you know, if somebody can get a knockout, it's going to be, but if all things end up being equal, it's an interesting debate. It depends how
much. When we talk about selling our dunks, Brian, do we mean like Chris Birdman Anderson? When he said, watch the Birdman fly, and then proceeded to miss like 17 dunk attempts in a row?
Yes, I do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Or do you mean, bless his soul, Kobe Bryant, who had a great dunk between his legs that we had never seen before in the contest.
Don't rewrite history. We'd seen from J.R.
Ryder. The way
Ryder.
He did it was different from who was it? Harold Miner?
J.R. Ryder, brother. Come on. Isaiah Ryder.
Isaiah Ryder. Yeah,
the East
JR,
Bay Funk, brother. Come on.
Yeah, but it was the way Kobe did it was different. Kobe did a new version of the between the legs for the dunk.
I don't want to be smirching piss on the grave of Kobe, but that was one of the worst dunk contests. That and the Brent Berry one led up to them actually canceling the dunk contest in 98. I don't know if you remember, to bring in two ball, which was a WNBA player teams up with an NBA player to like shoot, play horse, basically.
A real can't miss idea.
Kobe won that one.
Kobe's selling was the worst selling I've ever seen on a winning dunk. Like he completed that between the legs dunk and did the worst like ice grill to the crowd I've ever seen. It was so unbelievable. It was like, get this kid
out
of here.
That's on brand though. And he was already hitting Brandy. The girl was his, right? So, yeah. All right. Do you think he got the other one? Do you think he got, who was the other one on the
Monica?
Yeah. He ain't getting Monica.
Monica's pretty cool. I and so was Kobe. Maybe.
Did Monica ever work in a Colorado spa? Or is it too soon for all this? It's too
might
soon.
Be a little soon for that one.
All right. Thank you. Charlo on Charlo action. Quickly, because we didn't get to it before. Last week on Showtime, we did see Erickson Lubin get that unanimous decision win over Terrell Gaucher. You predicted the fight would probably suck. It mostly did. But we did learn some things. We learned that Erickson Lubin, you know, has grown into a very good boxer. He was poised, patient, used the jab, went to the body. He also got rocked in round 10 by a big right hand, which is something you said look out for. The whispers that maybe it wasn't just a freak one-punch knockout against Jermell. Maybe he don't have that A-plus chin. I don't think he has the A-plus chin. He has won the mandatory to face the winner of Banana Charlo. Would you give him a chance against any of those guys?
Yes, I would give him a chance because he, like, as he's demonstrated his last two times out, especially in this last fight Saturday against Terrell Gaucher, who is an excellent boxer, who is hard to look good against and may kind of helped make this a stinky fight, that Lubin can box and he has a chance to outbox anybody, including Jermell Charlo. I don't know if I would pick him to do it, but I would be dumb to say it is impossible. Now, I still think that he didn't answer the questions, right? And I think that it looks as if he's been a little bit cautious in his last two fights against Gallimore and against Gaucher. And perhaps that means that the concerns, the whispers that we've heard about his chin might be real, or at least that he wants to fight in a more conservative manner that allows him to protect that chin.
But has it made him a better boxer? Yes, right?
Yes, but can he can he win a championship fighting like that in a very competitive division?
Fair, very fair point. The odds would be against that, but I am impressed. And look, he's only 24 still. So I am impressed that he's made those type of growths under Kevin Cunningham. He's a very good boxer. And I wouldn't have said that back when he fought, Charlo the first time in 2017. He was a little bit more of a power puncher, a little bit more of a go get it type guy. Now he's showing more wrinkles in his game. It was a good win, all things considered. And I don't know. You know, we're going to have to find out right there. Quickly on Boots Ennis. He stole the show for Showtime over the weekend. I know he's fighting, you know, the husk of Abreu, but good Lord, Rafe, 26-0 with 24 KOs. It's time, right? It's time.
I hope it's time. Look, here's what I think. I hope Showtime will do, because at the moment, I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Jerron Ennis still is not officially aligned with any of the blue chip promoters slash content providers in boxing.
For real?
In terms of PBC, Top Rank, or it's really just those, I don't know, Golden Boy. I don't know, Matchroom USA, if that even is going to exist into next year. He's not, he's got a smaller promoter. He's come up through a different way. And basically what I'm saying is, who cares about all that? Showtime, I know that you guys do a lot of business with PBC and Al Haymon. Let's just presume Jerron Ennis gets there someday and start paying him like he's going to be there and start featuring him like he's going to be there. Showtime, you control the purse strings. It's your money. Put the money up and make great fights with Jerron Ennis. Pay for good opponents to get in there and fight him, because he's going to beat them and he's going to make a name for himself.
He's great. He could do the spectacular. He's really confident.
The way he shifts.
Yeah, he's shifty.
It's special, man.
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, I'd love to get Dwyer on to talk about it.
Hey, Dwyer, you're wrong on this one. Blah blah blah. Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Rafe, let's run through before we're here for a few hours, but it's worth it. I'm so excited. This card. Let me hit you up with these four undercard bouts underneath the two Charlo bouts. I want to get your thoughts on it. They're both featuring fighters in the 118 and 122 divisions, and they're pretty good matchups. Brandon Figueroa under the Charlo Derevchenko in that co-main. He's unbeaten. He's going to defend his WBA belt at 122 against Damian Vasquez. Now, Vasquez is 15-1-1, only 7 KOs. He's like a second cousin or so of Israel Vasquez. You have to think this is set up to make Figueroa look good. Vasquez can go to the body. He's a fighter, right? I mean, it is what it is. But I always get worried about Figueroa, because when he goes in there, he does Figueroa things, which is square up and let me throw a million punches and let you hit me back. I'm excited about this fight. Figueroa is still just 23, but that draw with Julio Seja last November, I don't know if we should look at that as a positive or a negative.
Well, I think ultimately it's a negative. I mean, even Guillermo Rigondeaux, whatever, at age 55, managed to get that slightly debatable win over Seja by knocking him down and getting the ref to step in. I still think, honestly, I think Rigo was going to catch him again with those lefts and knock his ass down and out eventually. But he lost rounds in that fight. He got Seja put it on him. In any case, Figueroa is being protected a little bit. We've seen that, right? They haven't made the fight with Stephen Fulton yet, even though they're both PBC fighters at 122. I think because they like Figueroa, because they like his brother, because he seems to be more committed to at least making weight than his brother. Does he pop off the screen as an enormous talent? No, but man, he's a fun TV fighter. The Figueroa family is a fun TV family, if you know what I'm saying. And like, he's going to come and bring action. Even if this is a bit of a showcase, he's going to throw a million punches. He does not super heavy-handed, so if he does get the stoppage, it'll be because he catches up with the guy and tires him out late. It's just I don't mind them protecting him a little bit, milking this, so like Kownacki should have, as Dwyer would say, and having some fun with this guy, right? You want to play with the bag a little bit, have a little fun with the bag. This is the Brandon Figueroa experience.
Well, the good news is that 122 right now is a fun division in which PBC and particularly Showtime is putting a lot of interest in. As Steve Farhood has said a lot lately, for the first time, there's, you know, American names in here. Stephen Fulton Jr., Angelo Leo, now you have Figueroa. And in the co-main of the second card of this evening, we're getting Luis Neri, who recently moved up to 122, going in there against another unbeaten.
Well, arguably he moved up to it back in Japan and got his ass banned for sending poor Shinsuke Yamanaka to hell.
This is the least level of the four fights in terms of matchmaking. You know, you have to believe Neri, even though Alameda is unbeaten, he's a lesser name. He admitted this is a step-up fight. He's 25-0 with 13 KOs. He's going in there for the vacant WBC super bantamweight title against Neri, who's 30-0 with 24. I don't know if you saw that, but Neri did his public workout the other day, or his media workout, and he says, look, after this fight, I want to go after Figueroa. Good God. How about we get a Figueroa Neri unification fight? I know other people want next. They're trying to slow build that Fulton Figueroa fight, but Luis Neri has maybe the best chance of the four non-Charlo fights to be the guy that we're talking about coming out of this fight card. If we already know the road we're heading toward, that fight would be fireworks.
Yeah, look, Neri is a serious talent. We make I think he deserves the demerits and the jokes that we give him about blowing weight the one time against Yamanaka and then testing positive for a clenbuterol-like substance. I say that because it wasn't clenbuterol, but it was a similar performance enhancer that has a similar effect.
You know, he might be eating some of the Canelo meat, so I'm going to go with Ryan Garcia.
In any case, Neri deserves some demerits for those incidents, but at the same time, the talent is there, and he's a young guy, and maybe the answer is just he shouldn't have been trying to fight at weights where that he couldn't make and milk that advantage, that size advantage, longer than he needed to, because I think he has the talent and the size and the power to be a top fighter at 122, and this is a step in the direction of going there. And yeah, look, who cares if Fulton versus Figueroa gets derailed and instead we get Figueroa versus Neri, or Fulton versus Neri, or Leo versus Neri, Leo versus, and make any combination of those four fun PBC, fun, extremely good, young PBC fighters. I think make any combination. Who cares? It's great stuff.
I think Espinosa said in a recent interview that he's looking to make Fulton versus Neri maybe on the co-main of that Nonito Darnarae fight in December, or maybe in the co-main of AB's return in January. So that
would be fabulous if he does that. Neri is going to be ready to come back.
No, not Neri.
That soon?
Not Neri. Fulton versus Leo.
Oh, okay. Yes. I've heard that as well.
Which is great.
You know I mean, he's probably building to Fulton versus Neri someday after Showtime signs Canelo Alvarez. Canelo, you are next, my friend. Come to Showtime. Make this pay-per-view money and put put Fulton versus Neri in that co-main. Who's not down for that?
Showtime is the label that pays, man. All right, we got John Riel Casimero, your Filipino friend, going to put his WBO 118 title against unbeaten Duke Micah. Do you know a lot about this guy? He's from Akragana, where all the bangers come from. He's 24-0 with 19 KOs, fights out of Brooklyn, trained by Andre Rozier. The 28-year-old goes by the Babyface Terminator. I'll be watching a lot of his fights in my hotel room, probably tonight, to get me a little bit more acquainted with. Everyone is saying this is the fight that'll be a war on this undercard out of all the ones. Look, Figueroa, he doesn't know how to do anything but get in a war. But Casimiro Micah is a great fight, they say. Those people.
I don't disagree with that at all, Brian. Casimiro also, he's not quite the in the trenches, inside, you know, whatever, grinded out fighter that you see Figueroa. It's a different style, but you know, he's an aggressive fighter. He's always looking to put the hurt on his opponents and knock them out, as he does in many, many cases. And it'll be interesting because Casimiro is not much of a natural 122, or when he's at 118. He's not even a natural 118. He won his first title in a rematch against, I'm not rune wrong, at 108 or 112 pounds. So he's climbed up quite a bit. You can see it on his body at these weights, where he's a little bit softer than the other guys because he's fighting above 115, 112,
hashtag,
where he's trimmer.
Beauty, right? Hashtag what a beauty body.
Anthony Joshua, yeah. What, like 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah.
And he's muscular, and he's built like a, looks like a freaking goddess, you know?
Yeah. I can sop that up with a biscuit, Brian.
Yeah.
And but Casimiro has the experience. He's not going to beat himself. We know this. We've seen it in 10 different countries. The man will fight anywhere and win anywhere unless he comes up against a greater talent or bad judges. I mean, he's got like the first rune wrong fight. This guy, Casimiro, look, he has been through more dirty fights than almost any. I mean, some of the dirtiest fights you'll ever see. Rune wrong doing weird judo throws on him. Then he had to go to Argentina and fight Lazarte and win that fight and then have the entire arena throwing crap at him. He was hiding under the ring until they could get him out of there with some of his trainers. That, by the way, revisit that little mini oral history I did on that fight, Casimiro Lazarte, for theathletic.com. It's a fun one. We got commentary from the one and only Sean Knucklehead Sean Givens, as well as the great referee Eddie Claudio from Brooklyn BK, who what I loved every time I did any reporting on a boxing melee, such as that one in Argentina, or the one where actually it was our guy Andre Rozier who's going to be in the other corner talking about Curtis Stevens fighting in the Dominican Republic and gunshots firing off after he won that fight. They always say, man, I'm from Brooklyn. Nothing. I ain't scared of nothing, no matter what.
Man, I'm a Carmine head, all right? But barbecue Bob. Buffalo Bob ain't coming through that door. All right, so I'm looking forward to that. By the way, John Riel made Zolani Tete sing the lullaby song, so that was interesting last year.
He did, and another weird coincidence, he did it on a punch that looked very much like the sort of shovel, half underhand, whatever punch that Jermell Charlo knocked out, you know who, Erickson Lubin with in 2017. It's a very similar knockout when you put them side to side, and now he's fighting on the same card as Jermell.
Yeah, when you put those shafts side to side and check out the stiffness.
He's standing in front of the net with about 8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
The final fight on this undercard is the only non-title fight on this card, and it might be the most evenly matched. Danny Roman, who is fresh off losing his two titles at 118 to MJ Murajan Akdemaliev.
Akhmadaliev.
By split decision, his 19-fight win streak snapped in January. Going to come back against former champ Juan Carlos Payano, now 36, probably at the end of the road, but this is a pretty good fight. It would get Danny Roman back in the mix at, I'm sorry, I said 118. This is 122, correct?
Correct.
Now we're adding Danny Roman into the 122 mix under the PBC banner. If he wins this is good shit.
Yeah, look, I don't know if Roman has signed with PBC, a co-promotional deal, if he's still with Thompson Boxing. Honestly, I don't care. I'm glad that he's on this card. Good job by PBC and Showtime to get him on this card and mix him in there with their already strong group of fighters at 122 pounds. Because Danny Roman was neck and neck. I mean, that fight with Akhmadaliev could have gone almost either way. He was coming on strong towards the end. Akhmadaliev had the flashier moments. He had the moments, but you could argue that if you had scored Roman's body work, he deserved to win that. I mean, that was a close ass fight between elite 122s. And I think Roman is still on that level. He will prove that with, I would say, a late stoppage against Payano, who, unless you're super explosive like Naoya Inoue, you're probably not going to get out in one round with one shot. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun fight. It's a worthy comeback. And then throw Roman right back in the championship mix because he wants it. He'll be ready for it. And he deserves it.
What a time to be alive. These are great times if for 1-2-2 boxing, you know?
Now, to paraphrase Charles Dickens, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times, right?
Deep.
All right, quickly on the way out here, do you care? Let's go to the Dan Raphael boxing page on Facebook. Wednesday night from L.A., not from the bubble. I thought it was – oh, wait, I was wrong. Sorry. Ray Flores is in the L.A. PBC bubble at the Microsoft Theater. Not here. Not here with me. It's a Wednesday night FS1 card. Nestor Bravo versus Jose Luis Gallegos. 10 rounds lightweights. What the hell are we doing here?
I don't even know what that is. What channel is that on?
FS1, bro. What is that? I don't know what that is. All right. Friday.
I got that DAZN shit.
Friday from DAZN, from Tijuana.
Dan Speaking of the devil.
Is telling us that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. will fight Mario Abel Cazares in the main event, light heavyweights, by the way, for the 176 lineal title. And in the co-main, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. in a 4-round exhibition with Jorge Arce.
Wait, didn't they already do the senior versus Arce exhibition and running it back?
No, I don't know. Kareem Arce is on the undercard. Is that his son? I don't get it. But I guess.
And isn't also Luis Castillo or Jose Luis yes. Castillo's son on this card?
Well, originally it said junior. Now Dan Rafael just has Jose Luis Castillo in a 6-round lightweight bout against Eric Robles, which is probably in play at this point as well.
Finally ready to return from that loss to Ruslan Provodnikov on the Mickey Rourke versus a homeless man card.
No TV on Friday from Paris, but you may be down for this. I don't know if this is a fishing derby or a heavyweight fight. Tony Yoka going to take on Johan Duhalpas, as Agier would say.
If you watch Povetkin's knockout reel throughout his career, you know, you've got like the David Prices, the Jonathan Dufuses.
Jonathan Dufus is going to take on Tony Yoka. You in?
I'm in anytime the French fisherman is in the ring. Yes, Jonathan Dufuses. Good luck against Tony Yoka. Go get that money, player. And look, Tony Yoka is a step up. I'm interested. We haven't seen a lot of him here in the States. He missed a year over some of that Canelo meat. So, yeah, I'm interested.
All right, Saturday on the Plus from London, Josh Taylor going to put his two titles at 140 on the line, hoping to set up that JCR four-belt showdown when he takes on Apanon Kongsong, who is the is that a Thailand guy?
It is, I believe, some Thailand guy.
Okay, it's a Cisco's Thong Song friend. That is what it is. I don't care if you care. I know you don't really care. I mean, we love Josh Taylor, but come on.
I love me some Josh Taylor, but that is a watch it the next day type of
Thank
fight.
Thank you. Also on Saturday from DAZN, Munich. Well, DAZN's got a poo-poo platter this weekend. It is the WBSS final at Cruiserweight Season 2. Yuneel Dorticos versus Maris Briedis. We're fired up. Tell me what's going to happen.
Oh man. First of all, I am so happy that, you know, we used to love this game. We do know this game. All right. We can call the shots as they're happening. You listen to what we're telling you, but I'm so happy that this game, as it is sending us to hell as a steady podcasting duo, at the same time, it gives us one last cruiserweight bash to cruise with together into the sunset, Brian. And it can't get much better than Maris Briedis and Yuneel Dorticos. Was made for box. Respect was made for box. Yeah. What's gonna happen? It's tough, man. Dorticos, we've seen lose to Gassiev, and he is one dimensional. We know this, right? He's just gonna throw 1-2s down the pipe at you all night, but they are heavy. All right. And Teddy, bring in your Teddy Atlas voice. Those shots are heavy and thick and intense, and every disgusting breathy voice that Teddy says, that's Dorticos coming straight at you.
It was hot. Yes. It was good. I'll feel. Yes. Yes. Okay. I can't find it. You'd think I could find it.
Briedis, it's interesting. He moves better. He has nice lateral movement. He's getting older, but he hasn't appeared to slow down yet. The Glowacki fight is kind of impossible to truly evaluate because it got so jacked up by Robert Byrd that we don't really know honestly how it might have played out. But this is a 50-50 fight to me, Brian. I know that Briedis is favored because he looks like the more dynamic fighter, but shoot, if he can't hurt Dorticos, if he can't get inside, and Dorticos, although he did get stopped in the 12th round of that Garcia fight, boy, did he take some shots. I mean, he has got a chin on of his own. I couldn't think of a better cruiserweight fight or a more fun cruiserweight fight to kind of, you know, ride off into the sunset with.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch. I hope it's during the day on Saturday. I hope it is.
It will be. I mean, it's happening in Germany, so they're like 7 hours, 6-7 hours ahead of the East Coast. You'll be good.
All right. right. Also on Saturday from Corona, California. Corona, good God.
Yeah, they want to change that name.
ThompsonBoxing.com and also on their Facebook or YouTube streams, Louis Lopez versus Saul Bustos, 8 rounds welterweights. I think you probably get a Dougie Fisher on the call, right?
Probably, but who cares?
Maybe a Jessica Rosales, maybe?
I would imagine. Hey now. Come on. Let's have some respect and dignity on this podcast.
I hit the wrong button.
I think Stevenson is someone you need to look at. Hard.
Saturday from Denmark, Dina Thorslund is going to defend her WBO Women's Junior Featherweight title against Nina Radmanovic. You don't care about that. But Philippe...
Well, I do care which one of them gets to go home with Denmark's finest, Ulrik Andersen.
Oh, hey, all right. The co-main...
It did exist.
Philip Ergovic versus Alexandre Kartosia, 8 rounds heavyweights. Hey, will our guy Ulrik be there?
It's possible. We got to send him an email. He is the number one boxing writer in Denmark, according to us.
Or maybe the only boxing writer in Denmark. All right. Hey, that's the show for this week. You know, we try to give you a big gift. Okay. Thank you for being in our lives. We're going to come back again this week. I got some Charlo interviews you're going to want to hear, a little bit of a bonus. Rafe is going to open mouth kiss all of our listeners one by one. Okay. You in on that?
Oh, shoot. I was born ready.
If my lip reading is correct, you called him a bitch.
All right. That's it, Rafe. That's the show. I don't know what else to say. Follow us. Follow us to hell. I don't know. Where are we going with this? Check out the work this week, okay? CBS Sports HQ, the Morning Combat Crew, the Showtime Boxing Streams Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Pay the money. Watch the halftime show. Thank you for your service. Rafe, can we find you anywhere? You got a set coming up at the Laugh Factory or anything?
No, my stand-up career is on hold during the pandemic, but Brian, certainly at youbetyourass.com, I will be writing all week, as well as, the books. You can always read the books. McSorley's, McKriegel, and me, my dad, Pacific Rims, Basketball in the Philippines, Basketball, a horror story. We do it all here.
Prepare your whores for the battle to come. At Rafe Books. That should be your handle. Why don't you become a full-time book writer?
Can't change Rafe Books, man. That's been with me since high school.
Since the Carmine days?
Basically as old, yeah. It has a similar emotional appeal to me.
Okay. Thank you, Rafe. Thank you. Special thanks to Rafe Books. Thank you, as always, Rafe.
Thank you, man. Thank you for getting the score, man.
Thank you. We're out.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.